after praying about it. And so we will be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But if you would put your finger there, and by the way, I don't use a lot of the overhead stuff. I'm kind of not too slick at that. And I openly confess that, okay? I'm an old guy and I got old ways. I like having my Bible in front of me, and I pray you do too. But put your finger there in Corinthians. And now I'd like you to turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. You know, in 1940, Hitler was starting to tear things upside down in Europe and across the world. And they had a battle called the Battle of Britain. And at the conclusion of that battle, it was quite an air war over the English Channel. And it got so heavy, the radar really helped the English. And they were able to beat Hitler back across the Channel. But they couldn't do that without the help of other pilots from other nations. Even our nation, prior to World War II, were sending pilots over there. And some of our young men died defending the English Channel. And so it was really something. At the conclusion of that, Churchill made a statement, "Never has so much been owed by so many to so few." And I thought about that as I was preparing for this Sunday's service, and I thought, you know, that could be said of those who penned the Bible. Now, we know that the Lord is the one that has given us this. This is no scripture of any private interpretation, Peter tells us, but holy men of God, as they were moved by the Spirit, wrote these things down. But never, I believe, has so much been owed by so many to so few. And yet, we can pay that honor to them by loving the God they loved. And so, we have people that go back 1,400 years before Christ that began to lay in order the things that we would share with each other today. And so, these different men recorded these books, historical, poetical, prophetical, and then the Gospels. And, of course, we have what we call the epistles, and that's what we're in right now, the epistles, the letters, and then, of course, the revelation. And I've always told people I was one of those guys in school that was kind of a slow learner, and I found out early on that the answers were in the back of the book. And so I know this sounds strange, but when I got saved, I read Revelation first. It scared the hell out of me, literally. Okay, and I've been going back to that from time to time. But I want to come to something. When we read these epistles, understand that these are men who readily laid down their life for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When commanded by others to shut your mouth, do not preach in that name, they were beaten and then rejoiced that they had been counted worthy to be beaten for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the kind of men that wrote these epistles. And the reason that they wrote them was that we might believe. And that by believing we might have eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I know that some folks say, well, I'm going to give you a 3-point sermon and we get to 2.5 and you guys turn it off. Some folks do. You know, they're getting ready to go, I wonder what's at the buffet. Paul said, I buffet my body daily. No, that ain't it. That's not what he meant. Okay, but back to this. I want to share something from the epistle to the Ephesians. We're going to go back and lay that over this epistle to the Corinthians. As pastors already shared with us, there was an ongoing correspondence between the churches that were pioneered by these evangelist apostles. And they would care for these churches. As a matter of fact, Paul says, and upon everything else that I'm concerned about is my daily concern for the church. He ached for the goodwill and the prosperity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a prosperity gospel, but a prosperity of the gospel. And so we come back now, beginning in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling in which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Sounds like they're from the South, doesn't it? But each one of us, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended to the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Does anybody want to say amen to that?
Amen.
Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? And so we continue on there, and it says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful politicking. Is that right? Plotting, there you go. Well, plotting, politicking, you know. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by when every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I want to pray again. Father, if there's anything in the world that we want, I would say this is it. I want more than anything to see your name glorified. I want more than anything, Lord, to see that unity that we've learned about, that we've been taught. But yet so many times, Lord, even in godly fellowships, Satan comes in and slowly drives a wedge amongst us. We think that one is over another. We think that one has a superior ministry. But Lord, you are the pastor of our hearts. And for this reason, Lord, help us to decrease that you might increase. Lord, whatever gift we've been given, we pray that that gift would be used in such a way that the people would forget that it was given by a particular individual and give glory only to you. Lord, we thank you for this. We praise you in the sweet name of Jesus. And again, the saints said, amen. That's your heart this morning? It's mine. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Yeah. Craig, he knows me well. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, that's what this section is about. And everything that we've worked through up until this point has been to do with how do we administer in the body of Christ to see Christ's body fulfilled and strengthened. There's different things we need to do. Now, there were some places where he had to reprimand us. He said, there's things going on, and it shouldn't be that way. Even last week, Pastor talked about how people were coming to love feasts and not loving, but being selfish. And how we, as the body of Christ, are to step back from that. My bride and those on the worship team had put that together, and that song, If We Are the Body. And if we are the body, then if you were coming here afresh, if this is something that is somewhat new to you, or this is we're young in your life as a fellowship, I would pray that you would be ministered to in the fullness of the Spirit, and then you could come away refreshed. I tell you what my desire is for Calvary Chapel, South Cheyenne, that it would be known as an oasis for the saints, a place of refreshing. But saints, we have to let that refreshment begin here in our hearts. Lord, fill me. Lord, mold me. Lord, use me. Lord, be glorified in me. I do not want you to be ignorant. Ignorant there is unknowing. It is self-absorbed. It is lacking that for which we need. He says, I don't want you to be lacking in the things that are needful for you, that you might grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols. By the way, I'm reading the New King James. You probably figured that out already. Just happens to be where I'm most comfortable. I'm not saying one thing above another, but I like the dumb. I don't like calling people dumb. I don't think that's a nice thing to do, but I think idols are dumb. And I'm not alone. For instance, if you were to take your Bible, turn to the middle of it, and open it up around Psalm 115, and 115, and I think it's around verse 5. 115, verse 5. Talking about that, but let's go to verse 3. But our God is in heaven, amen? He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not move, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Wow. Wow. And I want to share with you, the psalmist wasn't the only one. Turn to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. And I'm probably going to start right in the beginning of that chapter because it's so good. You know, that's the tough part. People say, what's your favorite passage in the Bible? I go, huh? Well, what's your favorite book? Uh-huh. You know, it's where I'm reading while I'm reading it, at that moment, in that place. But in Isaiah, the 46th chapter, Bel bows down to Nebo, Nebo stoops. Their idols were on the beast and on the cattle. Your carriages were heavily loaded, a burden to the weary. They stop. They bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but have themselves gone into the captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, Calvary Chapel, South Cheyenne, listen to me. And all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried away from the womb, even to your old age, I am he, and there, even unto the gray hairs will I carry you. I have made, I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me an equal and compare me that we should be alike? They lavish gold out of a bag. They weigh silver in the scales. They hire a goldsmith and he makes a god. They prostrate themselves. Yes, they worship. They bear it on the shoulders and they carry it. And they set it in a place and it stands, and from its place it shall not move. Though one cries out to it, yet it cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times that are not yet done, saying to my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. In other places, he says to Job, he says, Job, who do you think you are? Now, Job was a righteous man. As a matter of fact, the Lord says to Satan, he says, consider my servant Job a righteous man. But ultimately, even in his righteousness, because of his affliction, he says, God, what is going on? And he even begins to question the sovereignty of his Savior. And I say his Savior, yet the Savior had not yet been presented, but it was through God that Savior would come, and it was in Job's hope. They died in the hope of the coming of the Messiah, and they were comforted in Abraham's bosom because of it. And I can't get into that this morning. Let's go back to Corinthians. But I wanted to come back and say, these idols are dumb. And people that worship them, they're dumb. And I don't like calling people dumb, But whenever we think that we can build something of ourselves and expect it to deliver us, whether it be a government, a nation, or an idol, we're being dumb. There is one God. There is one daysman between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. And anything else is an idol. We're worshiping ourselves. Gentiles, you were Gentiles, and that's us, carried away by these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 16, and you can turn there if you'd like, about verse 17, just before that, as a matter of fact, Jesus is speaking with the apostles. And he says, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responds to that and says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also shall say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." That profession, it wasn't on Peter, okay? He wasn't building the church on Peter. He was building the church on the profession of faith that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, the deliverer of all mankind from sin. Now, for those of you that don't understand exactly and understand, he was up in the north end of the nation of Israel by a place called Benaiah Springs. And at Benaiah Springs is where they done all kinds of idol worship. Those dumb idols we were talking about a minute ago, those dumb idols were worshipped up there. There was Zeus and Hermes and Mercury and all these idols. And then there was this cave, and they called this cave the Gates of Hell. And they believed that spirits ascended and descended through that cave called the Gates of Hell. And Jesus is standing there with the buzzin' dozen and saying, "Say that I am." And Peter speaks forth by the power of the Spirit. And Jesus makes this proclamation. On that profession of faith, Peter, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And my brother Ken back there will tell you that when you go up to that area, up at Benaiah Springs today, they're not worshiping idols up there. The grotto of Pan is gone. The place where Zeus was is gone. And we can't do it today because part of that, the headwaters of the Jordan River, is part of the water supply for the nation of Israel. But they used to baptize people at the headwaters of the Jordan River there at the Benaiah Springs. So they were the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church when we hold Jesus up as the Son of God. And so now, going back somewhat academically, I'm going to continue down this passage with you this morning, but I want you to understand something. The things that God gives to the church, He gives to the church for the glory of His Son. It's not for us. We profit from it, but it's for His glory. Now, looking here in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, and Pastor's going to get into this next week. But the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. You guys know, and I've spoke of this before, but I am a wholehearted believer in what I call mashed potato ministry. Mashed potato ministry is whenever you're blessed and you don't know where it came from. When you sit down to a big old bowl of mashed potatoes on Thanksgiving, and you've got your turkey, and you've got your dressing, and you've got your gravy, and you whip out that mashed potatoes, you're not going, "Now, which potato are you?" You're just glad they all contributed. Right? Well, that's kind of the way ministry should be. We should be able to bless one another and walk away going, "Isn't God good?" You know, Some people say, well, I'm on the worship team. Well, that and $4 will get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks. I'm an elder. Yeah, we know. We can tell by your hairline. Don't laugh. There will be happiness in the hereafter. There are differences in ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities. Amen? I mean, have you noticed people like Cody? I mean, this guy can't stand still. I've noticed him. He's kind of, there's been a bit of a curve after the baby, you know. But listen, there are people, you know what? They don't let guys my age be youth pastors. You know why? Because there is not enough geritol in the world to get me that fired up. Thank God for young people. Thank God for ministries. And listen, you know one of the things that scares me today is we say that the church is getting older. Really? We can't do that, guys. We should not neglect those saints who are well-seasoned in years. I like that term, well-seasoned in years. Because like it says about Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were beyond the years of childbearing, and it says they were well-seasoned in years. I like that, you know, because I got the salt and pepper thing going on. And more salt. My wife says, always a little more salt. I said, can we back off on that? But there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Why? For the goodness of the church, for your goodness and for mine. I'm so thankful for people who come alongside of us in ministry. Have you noticed here lately, we've kind of went through an ebb and flow, and we had greater numbers than we did, and we've kind of tapered off, and we come back up again, and I pray the Lord does. As we are faithful to Him, He's going to add to this church. But as we go through that, every member of this church is a minister. I'm going to say that again. Every member of this church is a minister. And if the last time you heard thank you was thank you for shopping at Walmart, I want to say thank you to you now. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for your tithe. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for coming every Sunday. Thank you. But more than my thank you is to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter now into the rest of the Lord. Listen, we cannot be fruitful until we are faithful. I'm going to say that again. We cannot be fruitful until we are faithful. You're going to see some people, some leadership things coming up. I want to share with you those people who are stepping up into those leadership roles are people that we have seen faithful to this fellowship and faithful to our Lord. Not saying other people are not, but we pray these things through and we believe the Lord leads us. We thank you for the ministries that are part of this fellowship. We thank you for home fellowships. We pray that the Lord would add to our home fellowships. Right now we're once again in a wane. I pray that home fellowships would once again bloom, because that's where ministry takes place. It doesn't always take place on Sunday mornings. As a matter of fact, if you're in a big church, and who knows, maybe someday, if we were big enough, we really need those home fellowships, because that's where true ministry takes place. We begin to care for one another and love one another as Christ loves us. But it is the same God who works all in all. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Kind of like whenever you put Rice Krispies in a bowl. They can't snap, crackle, or pop until the milk's poured in. You know, we all are partakers of that same Spirit. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for everyone. For to one is given the word of wisdom. So we're going to start talking about these. And once again, Pastor's going to get into this in greater detail next week. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and you're welcome to turn back to that if you'd like. But as we get into these, and I'm going to be bouncing around a little bit, and that probably should not surprise you. Okay? Back in the days when I served as a pastor, I used to tell the saints on Sunday morning, buckle your seatbelts, we're going for a Bible ride. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, talking about this gift of wisdom. Now we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age. You get that? Not the wisdom of this age. It's not because some commentator on television said so. It's not because some professor at some college believes this, but it is the profession of the wisdom that comes through the knowledge of the Word through Christ Jesus by the power of the Spirit. Nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God which was ordained before the ages of our glory, for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified our Savior. But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. I'm going to ask you something. I need your eyes for a minute. Do you love Jesus? Do you know that He has a gift for you? Do you know that that will not always be the same gift, but it'll be the right gift? In a couple of weeks, Pastor will be speaking from Corinthians 13. He says, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, if I have not love, I am as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Saints, the wisdom is through the Spirit. Look at that. And to another, the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. In Romans chapter 15, verse 14, it says, now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness. Man, sometimes I cannot wait for Sunday morning because I miss seeing you guys through the week. And I want you to know that in my eyes I see goodness. Because when I don't, I realize it's me and I'm stinking thinking. But when I see you through the cross, what I see is someone worthy of my Savior's blood, and I see goodness. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God. Now, he's going to once again in this epistle to the Romans enter into that place of a godly mentor, and he's going to use the word of God for correction. But he said, before I do that, I want you to know this is not just me spouting off. I believe that I've been given the gift of knowledge for this time and this place that I might minister effectively to you at the church at Rome. Through the same Spirit. So once again, we see this. And you guys see that Spirit is capitalized. That's the Spirit of the Lord. Through the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit. You know, we have all of these different examples of people in the New Testament. I'm reminded of the man who brought his son who was possessed, who would be seized and cast into the water or cast into the fire. And as Jesus comes down from the mountain with Peter, James, and John, the group are gathered around. And Jesus says, what's going on here? And the father says, I brought my son to your people. Because many times he's possessed and Satan is there to destroy him. And John, it tells us Satan comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And he says, I see that as I see my son being ravaged. And I brought him to your apostles that he might be dealt with, that this could be healed. And they could not. And he says, oh, you foolish and perverse generation, how long shall I be patient? This is Matthew chapter 17, by the way. In another of the Gospels, it says, all things are possible. Jesus is speaking to him. I want you to get the picture for this. Here's this boy. He's overwhelmed. He's ravaged. He may be prostrate. He may be gnashing his teeth. And Jesus says, how long has he been like this? From a child. All things are possible to those who believe. And the Father says, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Wow! What a great prayer. Help thou mine unbelief. And Jesus deals with that right there, right then. In the book of Mark, there's a man who was blind. The Lord touches him. And then he asks him, what do you see? And he says, and by the way, if you've seen nothing, when you see a fuzzy blue sky for the first time, it's got to be spectacular. Men moving around as trees, he said. I'm seeing. I don't see clearly. And Jesus touched him again. Saints, I can't bring you the verse right now on that, but I want you to go back. I want you to find it in the book of Mark, because that is the only place I've ever seen where it says, and Jesus touched him again. But it is, without a doubt, one of the greatest passages, I believe, in God's Word. Because how many of us need to be touched again? I do. I do. How many times have I found myself in a situation where I do not see the things of God clearly, and I can go and say, God, please touch me again. The gifts of healing by the same Spirit. The gifts of healing. As I've already shared, this healing. And by the way, guys, healing is not just physical healing. Amen? Amen. How many of us are tormented in our spirit? How many of us labor and are heavy laden? Matthew 11:28-30 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Saints, when we're hurting physically, and Pastor Doug brought this up yesterday in fellowship. Guys, if you don't come to men's fellowship, you're missing something. And I'm just going to plug that real quick because I really do believe in men's ministries. And yesterday, Doug had shared how when our physical body is in pain, our spiritual body and our spirit, our soul, suffers. Jesus not only healed men like this man who could not see, but he heals like he did Paul whenever the scales fell from Paul's eyes and he seen the things of God clearly in the book of Acts. Saints, that's what God wants to do in your life, and those healings come in the Spirit. And the book of James tells us that if there are those who are ill among you, they are to call for the elders of the church, and that the elders of the church or to pray over you and to anoint you with oil. That may not mean you get up and walk, but what it means is there's going to begin to be a healing within your spirit that though you never walk again, you may run with the angels. So many people think God has not heard our prayers because we don't get them answered the way we think they should be. God answers prayers in three ways: yes, no, and wait. And we live in a microwave society and we don't like to wait for anything. But in Isaiah chapter 40, it says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. That waiting there, if you go back and do a word study on it, it means to be entwined with God. It means to be at the base of a weaver's beam, those who wait upon the Lord. It's very interesting to me that in the book of Revelation, that book I told you about earlier that scared the hell out of me, it was in that book I found the greatest comfort, that one day I would be given a white stone with a new name written. That name is going to be righteous because the name alongside of it will be His. We have all these Hebrew compounds, Jehovah Jireh, God my provider. Jehovah Tsidkenu, God my righteousness. Jehovah Rapha, God our healer. And when we read Jehovah Randy, Jehovah Randy. You know what? It's not Randy, but it's Him. He's going to be the one who makes us worthy to receive that stone. To another, the working of miracles. Listen, are miracles still working today? You know, there are some churches that say, well, you know, that was for the past. No, it's for now. I'm going to tell you that right straight up. When God heals a marriage, that's a miracle. When God touches a child, that's a miracle. When we see these little ones that are being ministered to back there turn their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a miracle. And my God is still in the miracle business, and you're part of it. Something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He's made something beautiful of my life. Saints, you're a miracle. And my God is still in the miracle business, and He does it by the Spirit, in the fellowship of the saints, for the perfecting of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, as I've already shared this morning. To another prophecy. And you know, prophecy is one of those that kind of goes, well, I don't know if we're doing that anymore. Oh, yes, we are. The Lord's coming back. I'm going to be a prophet this morning, and He's coming back soon. And I want to share with you, He's not pissed. You know, you used to see that bumper sticker out there that said, God's coming back, and He's... No, He's not. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the glory of God. Now, there is a wrath for those who know not God, and I'm not saying that that wrath will not be poured out, but I want to share with you, and even in the knowledge of the Old Testament, the things that angered God was the fact that people had been given the divine knowledge of God and chose to turn their back and worship dumb idols. Don't do that. Don't do that. But in prophecy, prophecy is pro photo. It is that which is to come. And He already said, I'm God and there is no other. I can tell you what's going to happen, and it's going to happen. And Jesus is coming back soon. Well, how do you know? Because God said so. Because He could do things in such a way. Prophecy drives nails in the coffin of disbelief. Say that again. Prophecy drives nails in the coffin of disbelief. Bury the old man. Look at the prophecies. Prophecies like in Zechariah, where it says that Jesus would ride into Jerusalem on the back of an unbroken colt, written hundreds of years before He did it. Or the fact that from the going forth of the proclamation to restore and rebuild the city of Jerusalem in the book of Daniel to the coming of the Messiah would be 62 sevens and 7 sevens. And we find out that Jesus rode into Jerusalem 483 years later to the day. And He shows us these things. He tells us things that are going to happen before they happen. Why does He do that? So that whenever you read, the Lord's coming and He loves you. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made, and He knew you even before you were formed. That you can believe that. Somebody said there were 773,000 words in the Bible. I don't know how many words there are. I haven't counted them. But I will tell you, the message is this. You are loved. You are loved. Prophecy is part of that. The discerning of spirits. You know, sometimes we've been given the wisdom to know when somebody isn't teaching us correctly. The guys, and we've been in men's fellowship in the book of 1 John. And I'm going to do it again, but hey, you know what? 1 John chapter 4, turn if you would. That's toward the end of your Bibles. Right? Backwards would be Revelation, Jude, John 3, 2, 1. Peter 2, 1. James, Hebrews. But back here, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So we go back there and we want to look at this. The discerning of spirits. The discerning of whether or not somebody's rightly dividing the word of truth. It is interesting to me that in the book of Acts, we see that the Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they took Paul's teachings back to the Scriptures to prove if they were so. It is also interesting to me that we have two letters to the Thessalonians and no letters to the Bereans. What do you think about that? You know why? Because the Bereans had established the truth of the Word and the truth of Paul's teachings. They had been given the spirit of discernment. And we have been too. And so ultimately, we're going to continue down this line to another different kinds of tongues. And guys, if we went to the book of Acts chapter 2, and I'm not going to take you there because we got to wrap this thing up, and I could go on all day, and you'd miss the buffet. But in the book of Acts, we see God using the Spirit to fall on men, to speak in the tongues of other men, to speak of the glories of God. Now I'm going to take you clear back to Genesis, and I'm going to take you to that place where it says, men sought to be as God. We will build a tower, and we will be equal with God. And God confused their languages so that they could not fulfill what they had desired to do. And then now, through the Lord Jesus Christ, He takes that confusion away, and there's this unity that we're speaking of. You want to know how you can build this church right here, Calvary Chapel, South Cheyenne? Be of one heart. Be of one mind. Love one another. Use the best gift. Use it as He gives it to you. Use it freely. Do not cover it. Do not conceal it. And do not put your personal emotions into it. I mean, you've seen me weep over things. And I do a fair amount of weeping. But I want to share with you, my worst enemy is when I get angry about something. Saints, when we're ministering to one another, realize we're all fallen vessels. And love one another. Speak the truth in love. Speak to one another, we're told, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And even more so in Colossians, as we see the day approaching. Amen? You know what happens whenever you can't touch these things. Verse 11, we're going to wrap this up, but there is one and the same Spirit that works all these things, distributing each one to each one individually as He wills. In the book of John, we see that the wind blows this way and that way. No one knows where it came from and no one knows where it's going. Well, saints, I want to share with you the way that I have the mind of Christ is through the knowledge of God's Word by the power of the Spirit. But I also want to give Him liberty because He's God and He's going to do it His way. And so if He gives somebody else a gift for worship, my God, let's be thankful. Let's be thankful. Let's not be, well, I could do that. I want to share with you the story of a young man that used to go to a little church and sit in the row and critique the pastor. Well, he didn't hit this subject and he didn't do that radically. And the Lord busted that young man. And He said, I did not bring you here to critique him. I brought you here to support him. Finally, for as the body is one and has many members, and Pastor will pick up here next week, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Oh, that we might leave behind the aroma of our Master when we move through the lives of the people we are around. Oh, that when the pebble falls in our lake, our sphere of influence, our ripple would leave behind Jesus. Oh, that we could pass through someone's life and instead of them going, now why did he come out? Instead of saying that, they say, boy, I'm just so blessed that I saw my brother today. He really lifted my heart. My sister, I was heavy hearted and she shared Jesus with me. Saints, the gifts are just that. Seek spiritual gifts. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much for Your sweetness and the wonder of Your love. And I thank You, Lord, that You've never left us in want except to want more of You. And I know that, Lord, as we seek You, that will be fulfilled. Your Word clearly says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Lord, one thing have we desired, and that will we seek after, that we may dwell in Your house all of the days of our life. Lord, if there's anybody here today that is aching that is struggling, that is working through issues in their lives, Lord, I pray for them. I pray for the fullness of your Spirit. Lord, as we continue in worship, I would pray that you would minister by the power of your Spirit in this worship, and that we could return to you the song that you've given to us. For you are the song that we sing. And the saints of God said, Amen. Let's worship.